And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
It's been quite a while. I can't even, I guess, 2 months plus 2 weeks or something or another. I don't even remember exactly where I was with shows. It took a long time to get back here. I am feeling better. Thanks to all of those who corresponded in some way, shape, or form, or, you know, sent emails of encouragement, or text, or telephone calls, whatever, telephone messages. Thank you all. I am, again, rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I came close a couple times, though. I did. You know, and it kind of, I was having this conversation with JL about, it kind of gives you, like, maybe a little bit of, well, I don't know about you, but it kind of gives me a bit of perspective when I look at things in an overall picture. And I said to myself, I should have been dead, like, 3 times over just in the last 2 months, and here I am. So, you know, I still got the... You know, welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. It's been so long, I don't remember how I do it. I got no video. I'm just running audio tonight. This is going to be audio. It's going to be very rough. And then it's going to be, that's it. Because the studio's getting shut down and taken apart tomorrow night. So this was the last time I was able to get some sort of something in. Before the move to Texas. Because that is definitely once again happening. We're in the midst of packing now, still here, as a matter of fact. And that's going, you know, so-so. But I wanted to do a live update because, you know, I know the producer's been leaving updates of the whole saga. And I have been home now for a couple of weeks. And I'm doing things I'm not supposed to be doing because I have limitations. I still have this drain on me, you know, and it's a tube through my gut. Into my gallbladder, and it's letting my gallbladder release my bile or whatever my gallbladder is supposed to regulate. It's doing it with the help of this drain. Now my gallbladder definitely needs to come out, but they didn't want to do it so close to a major surgery such as I had on my bowel resection. So we're basically kicking the can down the road. I'm gonna have to get the get the friggin' thing done when I get to Texas. So I'm going to have to keep the bag. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see my surgeon tomorrow afternoon, and I'll talk to him about it. But I think the game plan is going to be just move to Texas, and if something bad, you know, file for your Medicaid. And if something happens, then walk into an ED. There you go. That's pretty comprehensive. You know, I don't think it gets much more comprehensive than that. So I have this bag with me in the interim, and you know, people see it and first thing they think is colostomy bag, you know, and it's like, no, it's definitely not a colostomy bag. If I had one of those, it'd have to be bigger. It'd be ginormous. That being said, I'm still on the mend. I could probably have used another month in bed, just, you know, being nursed, for lack of a better term. And build up some strength and endurance, you know, and keep. I went through physical therapy to a certain standard, and I went through occupational therapy to a certain standard. And, you know, I was being shuffled back and forth because of the damn drain, you know, whereas it became like a biweekly thing. Biweekly? I don't know. Every other week would be, I don't know if it would be biweekly or not. I'm pretty stoned, by the way. I've been pretty stoned on and off since I was released on the 18th. and I say released like it was like jail, you know what I mean? It was very institutionalized, but it was a good experience for me overall. The rehab I picked. The problem is that it was like 45 minutes to an hour outside of Providence, right? And when you're being transferred back and forth between these facilities and you're riding in the back of a friggin' ambulance that has no suspension in the back, you know, and these Rhode Island roads, I mean, it can be horrific, you know. I've had places wait, I don't want to mention any names, but I've had places wait, and they knew I was being transferred, so they held back some of my pain meds and gave me, the only pain med that really works for me is morphine, gave me morphine right before I left to go back to Providence to deal with the trip, which was actually pretty cool, you know. And they would do the same thing in reverse, only they would have to do it with Oxy, which really doesn't do anything for me. Yeah, I've learned things about myself as well, yeah. Oxycontin doesn't, it just does not seem to be effective at all. Well, plain old morphine is. You know, people are different. They're, you know, I don't know what to say about that. But I guess I'm old school. But that being said, yeah, the morphine's the only thing that really killed the pain. And there was a fair amount of pain for a fair amount of time. This whole process was like, holy shit, yeah. I couldn't even sit up. Even 2 months ago, I couldn't sit up. You know, I mean, I literally could not sit up in bed. So, and now I'm sitting back in the chair again. And, you know, I never sit in a chair unless I'm well enough, which is why I didn't go on Saturday, by the way. I was going to go on Saturday, but I didn't feel well. Non-related, you know, just, you know, non-specific, not feeling well with my stomach. So I was like, nah, I don't feel like going on. But tonight I am. So, you know, I figured let me do this. And it's also the last opportunity I'm going to have before the shutdown. And I realized there already has. What do you mean shutdown? There already has been a shutdown. And, you know, that's correct. But I guess the show is a reminder that the shutdown shall continue. Because I don't know how long it's going to take me to get the studio set up in Texas once we're there. And, you know, because I'm not 100% now, and as long as I have this bag with me, I'm not going to be 100%, you know, because there's literally a hole going through my abdomen. Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's like getting stabbed, only it doesn't come out, and it's dull. It's like getting stabbed with a steak knife. You know, not even a steak knife, but a knife. So, yeah, I just wanted to get something verbal that I was, you know, doing reasonably well in rehab. And like I said, I could just use more time. I'm still sick, but... You know, I got to have my gallbladder taken care of. I don't think anybody doubts that. And now the gallbladder has to go. They just didn't want to do it so close to the other surgery. Okay, fine. I'll get it done, like I said, when I get to Texas. If it holds out, great. You know what I mean? If I don't have to walk into an ED, that's even better. You know what I mean? When it's, everything's, you know, going to be fine medically, but it's not done. You know what I'm saying? That's the big thing for me. It's not done. So I'm going to get another surgery, and it's like, oh, you know. And they're not going to, I don't think normally that I think they're doing these things arthroscopically. They're going through the belly button and they're doing it like they do like the appendectomies. But part of my scar, my original incision, like 8-inch, 9-inch incision, goes around my belly button. It's the funniest thing. It curves around my belly button. You could just imagine the flap going, you know. So I don't think they would do that again. Do you know what I mean? Because there's already scar tissue there. So they might have to do what's called direct, which means directly over the organ, which I imagine would be somewhere up on the upper right side. That would be my guess, considering that's where all the pain comes from. So, you know, I get paranoid because this is my third drain that I'm on. The first one I broke because I pinned it to the bed that I was in, and I got up real fast, and that's it. I ripped it right out, which was, you know, all right. The second one probably got, they're not using the term, they used the term dislodged. I'm so stoned. Dislodged. And said that it could have happened, you know, during physical therapy or something of that nature, you know. Because I was super careful with it. I was really like, you know, make sure it didn't get pulled. But apparently it can become disconnected from your gallbladder, you know. And this one, I don't want to jinx it, but this one I have the 18th. I have since like the 10th. So I'm coming up on a month. with this third drain. But it's just a pain in the ass, you know what I mean? And I still can't shower because I can't get it wet. You know, for a little while there, I was able to get a shower or two in because I was able to wrap it. And I guess I could wrap it here if I wanted to, but I don't want to take any chances with it, you know? Matter of fact, I want to get a new dressing from the surgeon's office tomorrow is my hope. And just let him, you know, talk to him and let him know I'm going to be okay and all that. So, because, you know, they like to see a good outcome. And in a situation like mine, they don't know what the outcome's going to be because we can't do anything until I have insurance in Texas. And that won't, you know, probably take a month or so. So, yeah. But I like I said, yeah, from the time we called EMS, you know, 911, to the time I came home to this address, was like 2 months. Yeah, I think I went in the 17th and I came out on the 18th. So it's just it was 2 months. And 30 hard days of that in Rhode Island Hospital continuously. So a month in Rhode Island Hospital continuously. And then shooting back and forth where I would be at Rhode Island Hospital on the weekends and then back at Grand Islander, which is where I rehabbed for later in the week, you know, or like midweek, or be at Grand Islander for like 2 weeks straight and then have to go back in for something. So, you know, and that's pretty good considering I've been packing and doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing. I'm not supposed to lift anything over 10 pounds, you know, that sort of stuff. It's like all the post-surgery stuff. Because this is considered a procedure, and it's not done yet. The thing's still sticking in. It's still sticking in, like, you know, through my abdomen. So it's not done. That's the whole point. It's got to be finished. The bag has to be removed, and the gallbladder has to be taken care of. Because the bag is relieving distress on the gallbladder. That's the best way to put it. It's like America to Mexico, you know. It's relieving distress. You know, they haven't had a revolution over there because of the United States of America and what they get from it. So even if it's the opportunity to work, not for nothing, I don't want to be a dick about that, but I'm just saying one way or another, the bag relieves distress so that there's no explosion and revolution within my gallbladder, right? That's the best way to explain it. You know, I've come to understand when explaining medical terms to people, you really have to dumb shit down. You really have to kind of take it down to like lowest common denominator. And where's that drain? There it is. Ow. See, I move off mic and my thing hurts. So hang on. I have to get something to drink. I'm so dry. Yeah. Okay. So, I went to my dispensary, my local dispensary. I got out of the car, dropped my stuff off, got like semi a little bit comfortable, and then called Uber and went over to my local dispensary and picked up some weed. And I was smoking that for a bit. And then I stopped because I ran out. And I went like, I don't know, was it a week? Something like that. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go get more weed, because I bought a radio, a digital radio. That I want, after everything that I went through after the 2 fucking months, I kind of wanted like a toy, I guess is really the best way to put it. So I bought a digital radio, you know, with that Russian DSP on it. That's supposed to be really good. That the Chinese are making the hardware and the Russians are providing the software. What could go wrong? it's pretty good, but I didn't have a chance to play with it. So I'm going to have to reset all my radios up in the bedroom when I get there to Texas anyway. So it arrived just in time to be included with stuff here rather than to have it mailed to the Texas address. I don't even know the Texas address. You could tell it to me and I wouldn't even know it. I would be like, oh, yeah, is it? Okay. So I know my phone number. I can give you that. I'm going to keep my cell phone number, even though it's a Rhode Island number, keep it for a while. But if at all ever get it changed, but I may at some point get it changed. But I'm not in any sort of hurry. I just need to get there and get everything unloaded. We need to get everything loaded, you know. And the movers are going to do it. So, I mean, it's just supervising, you know, that box, that kind of thing. But it's been very taxing on both of us, actually, packing because of our health in general. Like I said, I'm not anywhere near 100%, and I don't even know I don't even know where I'd put her on the scale, quite frankly. But we're not doing well. So my Uncle Tim, you know, the motorcycle mechanic who comes up from Florida, he's been helping us out, and he's like a machine. So I like just stuck him in the kitchen, and I said this, that, and he just did boop, 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 boop. The only thing is I got to be down there hanging out with him while he's doing it. So it's like I kind of lose a little bit of me being able to be doing something in another part of the house, like upstairs while he's downstairs. But he does such a great job of packing that it's so worth it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So he'll be by tomorrow night for the last run. And I got a couple of things. I might not even have a couple of things for him to do in the bedroom by tomorrow night at all, now that I think about it. So it might just be this room. I'll get my books packed up. So he used to have a lot of books. I mean, I had a lot of books. I would buy, like every week, every payday, I'd go buy a book, hardcover book, when I was doing well back in the old days. So I have a lot of books, or I had a lot of books, and I stored them over at John's in his basement. This is when he had the house in Brooklyn, you know, and they had the fire. And a lot of my stuff took water damage, you know, so I lost a lot of books. And then when I got here, my political view had changed to the point in time where I kind of looked at my library a little differently than I had, and I'm like, why don't I have this? Why don't I have this, you know? So you start trimming, and, you know, well, basically all I have left is occult books and books on the basketball, which is my sport of chosen interest. You know, sometimes it does, my belly does still hurt a bit, you know, and it's not the port site for the gallbladder thing. That's on my right hand side, right down the center. It does the actual, everybody's saying it's such a great incision. So All right, I don't know, like I said, you know, you could have mine if you like it that much, because I don't think this one, I'm not a young man, you know. So this is going to still be a scar as long as I'm alive. That's my guess. I'm not going to outlive the scar on my gut. Nope. I don't think so. I don't really know. I don't even really know what to say. I can't say I've gained a new respect for nurses and registered nurses assistants and CNAs and whatever they call themselves as far as being nurses assistants, because it's different things in different hospitals sometimes. Earned my respect, you know. you know, I had a month in, and I didn't want to go back to Rhode Island Hospital just because I couldn't deal with the scale of it anymore. It's like living in the city, right? And then by going into rehab, my rehab place was like in the suburbs. So, you know. And I just wanted to, after having been in the suburbs a little bit, I wanted to stay in the suburbs. I didn't want to keep coming back to the city, and they kept dragging me back to the city. And I had to go through their ED 12 hours to get a room. Yeah. Even if I was a transferred patient. Although, interestingly enough, last time they transferred me in, they had a room waiting for me. They transferred me right to a room in Rhode Island Hospital. It was like, holy shit. As we were walking through the downstairs ED, and I felt like all eyes were upon us, we still kept moving. You know, this was the EMTs and I. I got to be quite friendly with the EMTs and nurses and whatnot, because you see them over and over and over and over again, you know. So I knew the guys who were dropping me off. And I guess I said to them in the bus when we were still in ambulance, I said, how are we going to handle this, you know? Because they're telling me that I have a room. And I'm like, I ain't never heard of that before. I'm sorry. I know going to get transferred and go to the ED, wait for their doc to sign off, and then somebody from, like, surgery has to come down and sign off on me, and then maybe I'll get a room. You know, so that's... But no, we walked right through. Right through, directly into the step-down, which is where you go directly after surgery. And I was actually there before, because I was... It's a long story, but I was there before. So, but this time I had a nice little room. It was pretty cool, actually. I was surprised they had my name up on the board, so I knew it wasn't some sort of bullshit. You know when you walk into the room and your name's up on the big chalkboard or whatever grease board they're using. You know you're doing okay. You know you're still alive and you're doing okay if you can read that. So that for a while that was my barometer, you know, because it's got the clock on the wall, and then. I got transferred to, like, the last rooms at the end. The clocks were so small. And my eyesight, I guess I didn't explain this. I had so much sugar in my system that my vision literally changed again. So it got to the point where I could see better without my glasses. Literally. You know, like, distance-wise, I could see better without my glasses. So it was like, oh, okay. And when I put my glasses on, everything got blurry. And then slowly but surely that kind of changed, and I noticed, oh, I need my glasses a little bit more, oh, I need them, and then I'm back on full-blown with my glasses, like I normally am. But for a while there, because of this, ouch, I can see I got to be careful.
Yeah,
see, I'm going to pull this up. Just give me a sec. Medical emergency. I want the tubing to come over the top. So that there's no pressure on that thing. All right, we'll try that. I have tubing, like I said, because it's whatever it is stuck through my abdomen into my gallbladder, and there's a coil of tubing, and then a coil of tubing, and a bag, a plastic bag, that is drainable, has a drain on the bottom of it. So. And it slows you down, you know, because you're like I said, there's a big fucking hole in my abdomen. So I'm not thrilled about that. There was a point where I had ripped it out, I think I mentioned, and the radiology didn't want to put a new one in. So for 2 weeks, I didn't have one in, which was pretty cool. And then my gallbladder started to complain again. And they had to put another one in to keep it from, you know, and all this because they couldn't operate because they had done the exploratory surgery so close, and they didn't want to do two major surgeries. I didn't think that the gallbladder thing was considered a major surgery, but I guess it is. I don't know. I guess now I know that it is, not for nothing. So, you know, it was, like I said, it was a long crawl back, even just to be able to sit up and to get my appetite back and to get to the point where the hospital was willing to discharge me the first time. You know, I have, as far as permanent stuff goes, and we still don't know for sure, I have neuropathy in my hands, where my thumbs, my pointer fingers, and now even it's coming back a little bit, the other three fingers on my hands are numb. It's like a tingling, fell asleep kind of numb. And my feet, I can't feel the bottom of my feet. They're numb as well, too. That's also neuropathy, very well known. That's from the ketosis, you know. And the drop foot, I have a drop foot on my right foot, which means my ankle doesn't pivot properly anymore. But I have a brace. They gave me a state-of-the-art brace, which is actually pretty cool to wear. It keeps my foot lifted, so I don't have that problem. Otherwise, my toes might drop in front of me, and I would go head over heels flying. And that would be bad, you know. It almost happened a couple of times with a walker, and I had the walker at least to grab onto. I had to use the walker in the nursing home because they do rehab in nursing homes. I don't know if they do that all over the world or country or whatever. But yes, I was basically in a nursing home for 30 days with a rehabilitation program. Yeah, I guess that would be the best way to put it. Hang on for a sec. My ear is itching. Oh, see? All right. Okay. Yeah, that works. So for 30 days, when I was moving around, they had me use the walker for insurance purposes, you know, because if something had happened, I could like sue them, I guess. So they would force me to use a walker wherever I went. Not that I went a lot of places, but I did go for strolls, backtrack, you know, to the gym and back and that sort of thing. And then I figured out I could order DoorDash, and I ordered DoorDash a couple of times. You know, that kind of changed things. Because the meals were consistent carbs. But real portion, you know, portions, like real suggested portions rather than, you know, what people actually eat. So the portions ran a little small. So I was always kind of constantly hungry while in rehabilitation. Breakfast was good. Breakfast, I could get a good meal out of. But breakfast was at 9, lunch it was like at noon, and dinner was at 5. And then that's it. It was over until the next day. You know, and as a diabetic, that's not the best program, obviously, to be on, because you want to keep, quote-unquote, feeding that furnace. But it worked out. You know, everything's fine. I was on insulin for the longest time when I was in the hospital, and even transferred over to rehabilitation up until like the last week of rehabilitation or 10 days of rehabilitation. I was on insulin trying to get those sugar numbers under control, which I believe we have. We haven't done an A1C yet because it would still be into the time frame that was, my A1C was like 15. That should scare some people. It should give you how much sugar there was in my system. And my they say it was my actual blood sugar, glucose was like 500 and change, you know. So, and like I said, I went in on a Friday and I don't remember anything. I went in, Gina, we called on a Friday and the EMS came and picked me up, and they yelled that she shouldn't be giving me the grapes because she was handing me some grape Gatorade or grape Powerade to drink, because I was dying of thirst, you know. And they're yelling at, oh, don't give it to him. It's toxic. Don't give it to him. So they took me off to the hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, and I was dying of thirst. And I was going through ketosis, you know, and they couldn't give me anything to drink. They couldn't. So they had me in the room by myself. And apparently I had tried to escape or leave the room, because when I woke up, I was bonded down. I was, you know, tied down, you know, with straps on my hands. And there was something up my butt taking care of my poo. And there was one of those catheters in my junk taking care of my urine. So, you know, and they say I'd been that way for 2 days. And I was like, get out of here. Seriously? You know. So, oh, man. Yeah. So that's how I woke up the first time in an intensive care unit. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm still alive, right? So, yeah. So it's like, yeah, you're still alive. So, and then it was the wandering around for a little bit, and then the exploratory, you know, based upon the NDO. There was an NDO. I was bleeding. They had to transfuse me a few times. I was bleeding out, and they couldn't figure out what the blood bleeder was. So they did another NDO because they had done one a while back. The NDO, when looked at properly, showed that there was a hole in my stomach. So a surgeon, who I'm going to see tomorrow, as a matter of fact, caught that and knew he was going in for that, but he didn't know what else he was going in for, because it was basically exploratory surgery when they cracked my gut open. And, that, you know, it's funny, like I said, they found what they found, and they fixed it. And anyway. So I just needed a little bit more time to heal, I think, before I got thrown into like a chaotic situation here. But not, I'm pretty good. I feel pretty okay, knowing that there's just even 2 days left. I think most of tomorrow's going to be a very productive day, and I think that's it. You know, if it isn't packed, it isn't going. That's pretty much the new mantra. So, and I don't really want to leave too much behind of, you know, personal stuff that we've accumulated over the last, you know, 13 years of this being our home. Like I said, I have no idea how long it's going to take me to get the studio set up. It could happen quickly. It could not happen quickly. Internet apparently not a problem up there because they have Google's gigabit fiber or Google's fiber network, whatever their network thing is, which is crazy of all things. It's just randomly happened. So that, you know, there's internet coming out the butts, the wazoos. They don't even know what to do with it, probably. That would be my guess. So that's cool. you know what I mean? But it all depends on how I feel, how I physically feel. And for right now, where the studio is and where my bed is going to be are reasonably far apart. So, because there's work that needs to be done in the room next to the studio, which will be the bedroom. And we're not moving in there yet until the work has been completed. So we're staying with them in the big house. The second piece of property that they acquired, which is right on the same property line as their current piece of property. So anyway, but I don't want to get stuck there, you know, for too long. I want to get into the environment I'm going to be in, settle in, and then do what I got to do with pulling stuff out of storage slowly and making sure the cats are settled and all that, you know. Yeah, these cats have no idea what's coming. None. Although we did throw them in a room and isolate them for a bit because we were trying to catch another cat, a feral cat that lives in the house. That's the best way of putting it. And we've been unsuccessful. So animal control is going to have to take over that situation. But yeah, it's coming together. I see it happening. Like I said, I mean, it's happening one way or another. We're leaving on the 15th. So, you know, that being said, I'm trying to think if there's, you know, anything else. Like I said, I know I did get, I got a surprising amount of inquiry as to my health via people, which was touching. I do appreciate that. I hadn't, you know, realized that there were actually that many people listening. How's that? He says sarcastically. But no, it was nice to know that, you know, people gave a shot and whatnot. I know John had mentioned that I was in the hospital whatever. For, you know, it's after like 2 months, you're starting to wonder, it's like, you know, is this guy coming out or is he, you know? Believe me, I started to wonder the same thing, you know? But yeah, as it turns out, yes, I made it out of the system finally on the 18th of July. Yeah, that sounds right. That's it. I'm scraping by while we're still putting stuff in boxes. I don't really have a viewpoint as far as world politics at the moment. You know, like I said, when your big thing is just to start to get to the point where you could wipe your own ass again, you're not concerned about politics. You know, you're concerned with like getting through that day, you know. And I had a lot of those getting, quote unquote, get concerned about getting through that day. You know, as being bipolar as I was and not always being able to have my meds, there were times where I was like pretty much on the edge of things, which, you know, is, and then there'd be like, there were tests and there were certain tests that I couldn't have any pills or water or nothing before the test or it would fuck the test up, you know. Which meant that I couldn't take my pills, which meant that, you know, you can't fuck with a bipolar's medical regimen. You just can't do it. You know, it's not wise, as they say. So it's unwise. You have chosen unwisely. And, no, it's just the way it was, you know. So going through the whole thing as, you know, being bipolar was a way different experience. Plus, you know what? Like I said, I've never been in the hospital that long. I don't have anything to compare it to. I've got nothing to compare it to. The most longest before that was I was in for 9 days, going back a few years ago at Rhode Island Hospital as well, too. And then before that, like a couple of days, I think is the record. So, you know, it was like a shock to realize that, you know. And for a while there, my feet hadn't touched the ground in a while. I hadn't walked in like 30 days. So, you know, you get that warbleness where you're not very steady as you start to, you know, walk again, you know. So it's a process. The whole thing is like, you know, again, a process. I just wish I had more time for everything. I lost, you know, 2 months. But I wish I had more time on the tail end here. I feel things are moving in the proper direction. I'd rather have more time left over than less time. But I think this is going to work out anyway. We slice it. So I think that being said, I think I'm just going to jump off. I will and hopefully have been in contact with some of you on the side in regards to your correspondence, you know, and inquiries. Again, I thank you. I don't know the next time. I have no clue the next time I'll be signing on with LF Midwood in the Midwood Files. I haven't the slightest iota, but I would think by the fall, you know, I would be solidly in the position of being able to get something out, you know. And it's going to be autumn in the new home, so it's going to be terribly exciting. So yeah, maybe, you know, maybe look back around and just check every once in a while. We may give written updates about getting there, you know, our various adventures and experiences, at least initial ones upon getting there. We may update the site, but I wanted at least this audio portion up and leave this audio portion up as the last update for a while. I'm trying to think if there's anything that, you know, because like I said, I've already been gone for such a long time, and now I just come back with like a State of the Union. You know, it's like, you know, who gives a fuck, dude? It's but I will. It's like I'm coming back. I came back to say that I'm not coming back for a while. That's basically the logic behind this. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody but me, but that's basically what I did here. All right, so that being said, I'm going to sign off. Did I load it? Yeah, I did. I loaded the thing. It's been such a long time. I'm not sure with the hardware and whatnot. So thanks as always, you know, for listening. I appreciate the patience. And I'll be back at that full Midwood strength, hopefully, within a couple of months. And we'll be able to get back to, you know, business as usual. I want to get back up on Rumble. I think the video component here was working pretty well. We just have to see what the new space holds in Texas. I think it was okay. I liked the traffic that I was getting as a result of Rumble. So I need to get back that, you know, that back rock and roll, and the camera's all set up, and you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're taking the desk with us, so, as it turns out. So we should have about the same space, give or take, that the system's using now. I could probably get a little bit less out of it if I tried to crunch it a little bit. Crunch it. But I'll worry about that, like I said, when I get there and I can stand up for longer than a couple of few minutes without going ouch. Because that time ain't now. Like I said, you know, thanks for the patience, and we'll talk soon. Bye. All right, that wasn't supposed to happen. Okay, I think, wait, is this it? Yeah, okay. All right, bye, y'all.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.